I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
HD Smartcast. You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hi, I'm Sanchita Sharma. I'm the Health and Science Editor with the Hindustan Times. Welcome to my podcast, Healthwise. Each episode will bring you up to speed with the top of the mind health, science, and environment issues. You'll hear experts who will help you better understand policy and decipher jargon, so that you can make the choices that work best for you. The coronavirus disease pandemic has been very stressful for all of us. Fear and anxiety about a new disease and what could happen can be overwhelming and cause strong emotions, not just in adults, but also in little children. In fact, coronavirus disease has given us a new term called COVID anxiety, which describes stress and depression caused by uncertainty about the future. Again, the manifestations of the stress can vary with people. It could cause changes in sleep or eating patterns. It could cause difficulty sleeping. You could have difficulty concentrating. It could worsen chronic health problems like hypertension and diabetes. And it can also worsen mental health conditions and increase the use of tobacco or alcohol and other substances.
Hi, Dr. Sagar. How are you?
I am fine.
So I wanted to start by asking you, can anxiety and isolation because of decreasing social support trigger or worsen mental health, not just in terms of causing us depression and anxiety, but also worsening existing health disorders?
That's true. Actually, if you see that social support has a strong link to our mental health, and what we need to understand that feeling of isolation may lead to feeling of loneliness, which can give rise to anxiety or even sadness. So there is a link in that way. And what social support we mean, it is a perception that how one is cared for, you know, and that the assistance is available. So for mental health, it's a very strong meaning in that way, because we know that loneliness not only affects mental health, but also physical health also. So any person who has a pre-existing mental health problem, so with a lack of social support or this loneliness, they can worsen, or even when it's not there, because social support is a good buffer for a person. And what it happens that, you know, person having a social support, those negative effects of mental health, mental illness is taken care for. And also we need to understand that there is something known as what is, pro-social behavior, which is so important, and which again is a, buffer for any negative effects of a stress. What pro-social behavior means that, like, helping a person, sharing or caring for a person. So all these has a meaning with regard to of social support with in relation to mental health problems, isolation, anxiety, and so on.
So what are the signs to watch out for? What are the signs of anxiety or the fact that you may be going into a loop and feeling depressed?
One of the most important symptom and sign is we need to look for the change in behavior, which is very important. That is what we need to look for. Change in behavior means a person who was chirpy, who was, moving out, but suddenly has been withdrawn, not talking much to people, So one has to look for this change in behavior. That's one very important thing, and which we need to look for. Then, of course, there are certain symptoms of distress, and more so related to anxiety or restlessness or, even sadness. And so a whole lot of symptoms may be there, and maybe something like lack of sleep and, maybe irritable, anger, emotional problems. So if these behavior is not comfortable with self, and also what we need to look for, because because some of these symptoms, anxiety, sadness, maybe they are in many people, you know, just a normal kind of behavior when something bad happens to us. So we do feel sad and anxious. We have to face an interview or, you know, any stress which happens, it does make us feel anxious. But the point is that we have to see that how much distress it is causing and two, how much dysfunction it is causing. Because of my sadness or anxiety, I am not meeting people. I am not going out. I am not going to office. I am not going to college. So then it becomes a problem. Then it is a something warning sign. Then we, or someone who is so tearful, always crying, you know, emotions, not doing any work, yeah, doesn't want to meet any people, you know. So these are some of, yeah.
How can family support someone who's depressed or anxious or feeling low? Because very often people don't want others. It's not easy to talk to somebody about these issues, right? So yeah. how do you get somebody, a friend or a family? How do you point out the fact that their behavior has changed? How do you point out the fact that they're becoming so irritable that they're pushing people away? So how do you support someone when they're going through a tough time?
This is a very important point, actually, and because for a number of reasons. And why? Because family and friends are the first responder. And what it means is that if anyone who has a problem, doesn't mean that they will go straight to a doctor or any hospital. So family members or friends have a very crucial role to play for a number of reasons, for identification of problem, even for taking care, taking to hospital or providing care and support and so on. So family has a very crucial role, and this is what we always advocate in our clinic. We always talk, because our success of the treatment lies with the fact that how much a family has cared for a person, you know.
Family, they want to care, but very often when a person is feeling low or
what a family member or friend need to do, most important is they need to be physically and emotionally available to them. I think that is a very important point. Two, that the skill of listening. I think anyone in the family that the art of listening, that one need to listen to them, is very important. And also the important and thing about family, that validating the experience, what is one is going through. What it means is sometimes, you know, family member, they mug a person or they dismiss some of the thoughts, some of the problems. So, you know, person may get, you know, more irritated and more anxious. So one need to validate those, what one is, the distress, what one is going through. And the most important is, you know, the providing the emotional support and the environment around a person, because that can provide a good comfort to a person that way. And also one may have to change the environment to make it more conducive so that the person can express out, because that is what we always say, that provide the environment so that a person can express out, can, you know, ventilate out, because that itself is a therapeutic. And basically what a family need to do, or friends, is how a person can be engaged in some activity, how one can empower them, taking help, and so family has a very crucial role to play, and that is how the success lies.
So, how do you recognize that social support is not enough? When should one seek professional help from a mental health professional like you?
Yeah, so one can see that when we always first advocate the self-management, that what one needs to do. If that is not working out, then obviously the help, professional help is to be there. And as I said, that when there is a severe distress is there, one is not comfortable with help, or dysfunction is there, or there is a poor quality of life and so much hindrance is happening, the things are not working out, even talking to family members is not working out. Even sometimes family or friends say that, you do yoga, do this. And even in spite of all this, things are not working out, or person is worsening, or even, symptoms are still there. Then it is important to seek help to any family doctor, anyone around. So then appropriate assessment can be done and proper management can be initiated. Now, management means that some medicines if required and also counseling or even therapy is required. So,
it's interesting what you said earlier, Doc, where you talked about how listening is very important. So, and this is when I'm coming to children and adolescents, because they're amongst the worst hit, as they're not just missing out on school and learning, but also social support, which is very, very important at that age, because this is the time when they are developing life skills, which are going to, you know, be with them throughout their lives. So how can we as adults support adolescents and teens to emerge stronger from the COVID crisis? Especially because parents don't, or even adults don't tend to listen to children. We tend to tell them what to do.
So that is true. I think what we have found that children are affected quite severely for a number of reasons because they are dependent on the adults so the listening is so important, and basically the what we have said explaining in a very simple language to these children in a very communicate with them, I think that becomes very important. And telling them, okay, even the stress and anxiety which is there, these are normal reaction to what is situation, what is going on, and basically giving the environment for them to share, giving the environment so that the creativity can be there and some kind of skill development can be there, even playful activities, because what is lost is, those storytelling, the play, games, and those sharing the moments, the sharing the fun around them, the laughter and the smiling. So I think that becomes so important. One has to see, and this is what we have written somewhere, that there is silver lining is there in this COVID period, in the sense that now parents and family are giving more time to their children because there is no other option.
Social distancing is now the new normal. So friends, they hang out, they play together, they hug each other. All that will have to go down. So at the end of it, like I said, do you think we're going to emerge stronger after the epidemic, especially children? And are you optimistic about that? You just mentioned the silver lining. Or are you pessimistic? Are you think that's what it's going to push us apart?
Personally, I think, the concept we always say something like a stress inoculation. I will tell you what is that. We are talking of the vaccines, basically to prevent, the virus, prevent the infection and so on. But stress inoculation, what it means that this day-to-day hassle actually prevents us, that gives the resilience to us. So maybe if you go back 100 years ago, we had a number of, calamities or different world wars. So what is important is, so maybe that this period of adversity will make oneself one stronger when they come out of it. And we always say that, one person who has undergone a severe stress, we always tell a person, okay, when you are, if you overcome this, then you will be a stronger person, So maybe this situation will teach us that how to be stronger, how to be resilient, how to have a mental toughness, which is very important and which is not there. So maybe I think this difficult period will teach us how to cope with this difficult situation. And we are saying that it's a new normal, how the things will be in the future. But I am a bit optimistic. Let's hope that, it will settle down. We know that 100 years ago also we had a flu and people had come out strongly. And that's the humankind, when they are into this and it is over, then they come out strongly. They bounce back. I think that is important.
And, you're right. Human resilience is a very, very powerful thing. And I'm sure since you're dealing with people every day, I'm sure there's reason for your optimism. Thank you so much, Dr. Sagar. That is really useful. Yeah. Thank you again.
Thank you.
If you still have any queries or would like me to cover a certain health topic, do feel free to reach out to me. You can reach me at Sanchex, that is at SanchX, or at HTSmartcast. We are available on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. For more such podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com. Until next time, goodbye.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.